7 minutes past 8 on a Friday morning. And once again, Dr. Bruce Thompson is in the house. Today we're going to be talking about, among other things, fertility, because it's a huge subject. And I know so many folk that really would make amazing parents. And then the universe or the good Lord or whatever you want to blame for the situation, just for whatever reason, doesn't grant them their wish. And sometimes it's because of lifestyle and things that you can do to possibly change the situation. And Bruce is an expert in exactly what we're talking about. So welcome to you.
Thank you,
lovely
sir.
To see you again.
Thank you.
And let's have at it. This fertility issue, it's a burning subject. You know, for many folk that say, well, the world is overpopulated anyway, do you really need more kids? And of course you do, because there's so many reasons to suggest that they are the future. Mm. And it's just a strange thing that those that really, really, I suppose, would be excellent providers and cherishers of little ones that can't have kids, they find themselves in a iniquitous situation.
It's a curious thing. I mean, we don't want to get into geopolitics and population collapse and all of that sort of thing, but you know, it is quite interesting that the people, very often it's the people who can afford to give their kids the best and can afford to educate them and protect them and give them the best start in life, aren't able to fall pregnant. It's an irony.
It is an irony, and there's an alarming trend, and I see it among my extended family. Mm. The latest generation, I'm talking about my children's generation, all the cousins, etc., most of them have decided not to have. They've decided not to have kids because they do not want to bring children into this awful world, and it appalls me.
It's a result
me.
Of too much education. Oh dear.
Well, it's appalling because without a solid good generation coming through to lead us into a brighter age, we're kind of in trouble, right? Mm. And there are world populations, countries around the world that are seeing a negative growth rate as a result.
That's right.
The aging population that can't be supported because there's very few people providing.
We're veering into geopolitics here.
Let's stick to the
holistic medicine. How about that?
Thank you, doctor. The doctor is in the house.
Okay, got to keep you online. Got to keep you online.
Have another pill.
All right.
There you go.
thank you very much for that introduction. And it is, I mean, these are big issues, and we are all aware of them to one degree or another. We have mentioned before in our previous discussions, why we in this present day and age are seemingly struggling with fertility. And we were discussing, how it's related to the age at which people are starting to try to fall pregnant, which, kind of on average is in our 30s now, and it's moving up. Women want and have every right to want a career, and they're focusing on that and not focusing on their biological clock. So our peak fertility is in our 20s, and we start to decline from the age of 25, from a female perspective, that is. Men don't seem to decline. That's another discussion entirely. But
I wasn't going to go there.
No. So and men are the younger generation men do have problems with their sperm quality, and that is because of a lot of factors and gestational factors. So in the womb, male fetuses are exposed to levels of estrogenic like hormones at a level that we've never experienced before. So that's the pill in the water, estrogen in the water. It's plastics. It's all these sorts of things. So we do have a problem. But fortunately, the body is very adaptable. It's very has a great ability to heal. It has a great ability to adapt to the environment, given the right nudge, given the right push. And that's what my job is. It's the nudge. So I take care of the amorphous background and foundational stuff that help to create a better environment in the body for fertility, to make the create the circumstances for the body to allocate resources more effectively and in a more targeted way, and basically to heal itself, to sort its cellular quality, its egg quality, its hormone intercommunication. The neuroendocrine state can improve.
Okay, now, can I just ask from a layman's point of view, do you get, how successful is this?
So, you know, I'm very fortunate in that I have a number of colleagues. Durban is a very unique little city where we have a number of people who were trained like me in a combination of homeopathy and acupuncture. We're registered acupuncturists and homeopaths at the same time. And, you know, across the board, we're getting 50% plus success rate, which is very good.
I think, above the sort of conventional medical rate, isn't it?
It is. And it takes a lot longer, though. You know, people have to be patient. And, you know, when people are patient and when they give the process the time, then they tend to be successful. It's difficult to keep people on track because, you know, people have expectations and they've got timelines and they're used to the fact that, you know, month after month they know if it's a positive or a negative. But the nice thing is that we can also support the IVF process and the assisted reproductive techniques. We very often sit in a sort of a second line support to those women and men who are going through that. They're putting the money down, they're committing to that process, but they want a little bit of backup. And the research shows categorically that acupuncture is a good support in the IVF process.
How does acupuncture work for those that haven't experienced it before?
So acupuncture, in a similar way to homeopathy, is not chemistry, it's physics. So it's about electromagnetics. It's about the part of our physical system that is fields and charges, right? So how it seems to work is it helps to focus the body's function. All right, it helps to focus the body's resources on where we want it to pay attention, where it isn't paying attention because it's very distracted because of stress factors and nutritional factors, dietary factors, etc. So, you know, it is important, obviously, to get your foundation right with the patient, make sure that you actually know what the background is. So from a medical point of view, we're making sure that we're getting the tests done. We're looking at the hormone profile, and we're looking at changes in the hormone profile as we go through the treatment process. And you know, where there is doubt, then we make sure that they are getting the correct tests, laparoscopies and scans, etc. Just to make sure that you are seeing the progress that you expect. Right?
A lot of people say that it's very irresponsible, really, to be looking at a pregnancy in the sort of latter years because of the chance of Down syndrome and other equally, shall we say, difficult to manage outcomes. What is your view on that?
Definitely, risk increases with age. That's a known fact, and it is something that people need to be aware of. But inevitably, you know, my patient cohort tends to be older, tends to be 35 plus. And you know, when we get to the pregnancy point, they do the tests if they're concerned. You know, a lot of people will say it won't make a difference to their decision. They will accept whatever comes.
Okay.
So that's a good percentage of patients. But then probably the majority these days will go and do the testing to make sure that everything is good. And then those tests aren't obviously, you know, absolute. They're not 100%, but they give a good indication of whether things will be good or what would be are not likely to be so good, shall I say?
Okay. In your experience, are there more children being born with spectrum issues? And I'm not suggesting necessarily as obvious as a Down syndrome.
Oh, you're opening a can of worms.
I'm curious because it seems to be the case.
My experience or understanding of that whole world is that kids aren't born like that. It develops at a particular point, and I don't think we really need to want to get into that one now.
Okay,
it's very controversial.
Well, maybe at a later stage we can unpack it more with
an
expert.
When I've got more courage.
Or with maybe colleagues that have specialized.
No, there's a lot of information out there. If people want it, it's out there. I'm here to help educate my patients. So if people want to know, I'll point them in the direction of the information. And, it's not backstreet information. It's all out there. You know, the data is out there. The information is out there. If people are willing to see it,
it's interesting. You've always been very forthright with your views on many controversial subjects. One in particular was the vaccination against COVID. You were from the get-go, from what I can recall, of the opinion that this was going to be doing more harm than good, and you've been proven correct by what has emerged of late.
One of the latest studies out of Japan is very, very strong on that. It says very categorically.
Well, even in the US, where the whole situation kind of emerged in terms of studying vaccine and protocol, et cetera, et cetera, and then imposing it on the world without full testing, because you couldn't do in that sort of time available full testing. And now it emerges that there are huge issues. In fact, there's a class action being floated at the moment against Pfizer, which is very interesting.
Well, the court cases are going to come thick and fast.
You see, so what I'm really suggesting is that your approach to medicine has always been considered and based on first do no harm and then build from the foundation of good nutrition, exercise.
Also base your decision making in knowledge and in what is known, and it's curious how the last 4 or 5 years have seen us throw a lot of what we know out the window for unexplained reasons at this point.
It all sounds very mysterious and vague, but ultimately there is a very strong case to be made for the holistic approach, the more natural approach. I mean, original medicine was all natural. There's no reason why it has been surpassed by so-called big pharma, except for possibly a very strong profit reason.
Listen, the body wants to heal. The body wants to heal all the every moment of the day, and our job is just to look at it, look at what it's doing, and help it do what it's trying to do.
And I think that is a magnificent premise from which to begin your exploration if you are in the category of those looking for a potential solution to the dilemma that you're facing, in that you just are battling to fall pregnant and you would love the opportunity to be a parent. Possibly, and I should say this in all sincerity, you should explore a little wider if you haven't yet examined the alternative options that are available to you. You'll find here in Bellito on a Friday, Dr. Bruce Thompson is in practice down at the Bellito Village in the Bell Vista Center at the Thrive Pharmacy. You've got a room there that's... Oh, did you find someone to share it with, by the way?
Not yet.
So if you're a practitioner of any kind of wonderful regime that you're looking for a facility to operate on a part-time basis, possibly, because on a Friday the room is very much occupied, but you've got space during the rest of the week, have a chat to Bruce. What is your contact detail?
Phone number 083-7899-328.
And Facebook or Instagram or the website?
That's healthcollective.co.za. And otherwise, info@healthcollective.co.za.
So there it is. If you know someone looking for a place to practice their craft in terms of health and wellness, and looking in this particular region on the North Coast, you can get hold of healthcollective.co.za or info@healthcollective.co.za and find out what Bruce has got available for you. And lovely catching up again.
Thank you.
We'll reconvene next week. I'll be on my very best behavior.
Much appreciated.
I'll do my exercises and all of those things, and you look at me and say, look how you've improved.
Look how well you're looking.
Isn't it wonderful? Yeah. My very special guest, Dr. Bruce Thompson, homeopath to the famous like you and I. I'm lovely. The morning show continues.